Purely that we handed out that little flashlight and everybody had fun with it and the lights were dimmed in here and we all turned our lights on and it was bright. And Jesus is the light of this world. He reflects through us, He reflects through us his church, amen. You know, we are his church and filled with the Holy Spirit. As we go about out there in our highways and byways, that I trust our light is shining. And I said, it doesn't matter how bright, as long as your light is shining, let that light shine, because it does pierce the darkness that's out there. Today I want to kind of understand or look at that about the light that's within us, and how do we keep that light in us. I want to take the verse in Luke. In Luke 11, Luke 11, 33. Luke 11, 33 says this. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. Verse 34. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. The heading above my scriptures that I just started in verse 33, it starts out by saying, the lamp of the body. And how are we going to keep that lamp lit? Amen. Let's offer up a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to your scripture today, Father, as you, I sense, have put this in my heart, Lord, to share, that what I want to share is not what I want, it's what you want. And so, Lord, I ask that you speak through me through this time. We read your scripture knowing that your scripture is your word. Let us not take away from it or add to it, Lord. Let us receive from it totally and fully what it is to be for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Reading it again, under the Amplified, it says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it in a cellar nor under a basket, hiding the light. But instead, it is put on the lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. The eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, clear being spiritually perceptive, focusing on God, your whole body is also full of light, benefiting from God's precepts. But when it is bad, and that being bad is spiritually blind, your body also is full of darkness. Darkness is that of being devoid of God's word. Be careful, therefore, that the light that is in you is not darkness. So if your whole body is illuminated with no part dark, with no dark part, it will be entirely bright with light, as when the lamp gives you light with its bright rays. The purpose of the lamp is what? To give light. We find that in the scripture, he's telling us that the eye receives light for the body. Jesus calls the eye the lamp of the body. The body here is meaning the person rather than just the body ourselves. It's the person. It's who you really are. When the eyes are good, the whole person gets the benefit of the light. If the eyes are not good, the person cannot see properly. It affects all that that person does. Jesus uses the idea of light and darkness to mean that what is good and what is evil. People can choose the right way to live. Do you believe that? People can choose which way to live. Or they can choose an evil way. The good things in a person are like the light that shines. The bad things in a person are like that of darkness. We see that throughout our times, and it's been there since the foundation of time. The good and the evil. The light in the people and the darkness of the people. The evil that is out there in people as well. We should take care that the light in us is good. In other words, we must always choose good things, never evil things. We are responsible for the light or the darkness that we receive. We are responsible for what we accept into our hearts and our minds. Now, some people don't want to hear that. You are responsible for what you're receiving into your hearts and your mind. We always want to play the blame game. It's somebody else's fault. It's that person's fault. It's that person. It's that. It's this. It's that. It's the way I was raised. It's my job. It's the, you know, we get into the blame game because we don't want to accept responsibility. But we are responsible. We can be full of light without darkness. We should obey God completely because He is completely good. Amen. God is good. All the time, God is good. God's Word is like a bright light that shines into our lives. So when we have people out there walking in darkness and they don't understand and they can't get a grip on things, they don't get the direction and which way to go, and you go out there and we take our light and we shine our little light. I hope, did this one work? Oh, there. We shine our light that I'm trusting that they begin to see something in us that they should understand that could be within them as well. Because it's not just for us that He came, right? He came for all. It's important for us to be that light. It's important for us to shine that out there. It's important for us to be His hands, as we had shared sometime and even in Sunday school this morning, about being His hands and His feet and His voice in this place. 5.5 months back in that missionary story, somehow somebody was prompted, I believe, by the Spirit of God to put this care package together and for whatever reason put a water bottle and a doll along with bandages and other things for health care or for the medical field there and send it 5.5 months before it was really prayed for. But that's our God. That's how He's got this so figured out. Hallelujah. If He's got that little girl's life, if He's got that little baby's life already figured out, what about your life? He's got it figured out as well. On the flip of that, we've got to look at, Lord, what are You going to impress upon me by the Spirit to respond to some need that I don't even know really exists yet, but You're going to put it upon my heart within my spirit, and I'm going to do something, maybe out of the ordinary, maybe I'll never send another package in a missionary direction, except this one time. And it's that one time that God was responding to a prayer that was taking place around the globe. It just gives me the awe of God. Like, wow, how He's got it figured out. But He works through us. He works through you. And He can only really get His work accomplished when He's working through a vessel in His honor. A vessel that is full of light. A vessel where darkness does not have a way in. Because if darkness has a way in, it will probably cause that light, you know, to go the other way. Or, you know, we say that light, darkness can't put a light out, but if we are so full of the darkness and we're not allowing, and it talks about the precepts, the Word of God, if we're not allowing His teachings into our spirit being and into our mind and our hearts, we have a good chance that what comes in and takes those places is that of the world and the darkness of this world. And pretty soon it gets pretty yucky, doesn't it? But what are we receiving into our light of our soul, the eye? What are we allowing in to our minds, into our heart? Remember how I talked about God's Word is like a bright light that shines on our lives. We find in Psalms 119, 105 where it says that Your Word, God, Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It directs how we should live. Maybe that's why a lot of people don't like to receive His Word, because they don't want to change. They like what they're doing. It's fun time. It's a happy time. I'm pleasuring myself. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying life the way I'm wanting to enjoy it, whatever that is. Because I know that once, and how many times have we gone and you've talked to somebody and you shared the word of God and the purpose of being born again or rebirthed or being reconciled back to Him. And a lot of times they go, well, I'm enjoying life too much right now that I don't want to do that because then I got to change and be a goody two-shoes. Many times people will say, I'll do that later, after I've enjoyed the darkness of my life. It's really what they're saying. I want to spend more time in the darkness before I get into the light because I enjoy what's taking place in the darkness. Because in the darkness, nobody sees, and it's just you can do whatever, and so to speak, you can do whatever, but usually it comes out. But that darkness in my lifetime is good. I want to be there for a while. I want to enjoy life. How the devil has seared their hearts and blinded their eyes and, you know, hardened their hearts, whatever the case is, that the people of the day and the days gone by and probably the days that are in the future, how the people believe that this is the best that it gets is when I'm living in the world and when I'm doing what the world wants me to do and I'm my own made man and I don't need anybody else. I can do it myself. That's a lie. A lie from the devil. Because you can't do it yourself. There will be a time of a breaking point in that person's life. Somewhere along their age, no matter young, middle-aged, older, whatever the case might be, there is a breaking point that all of a sudden there's a change or there's something there that they realize that what they've been involved in for maybe many, many years or decades, it's not really fulfilling anymore. It's really, I'm paying the consequences now for what I've done in the past. My body is riddled with a disease. My organs are dilapidated because of drug use and alcohol abuse and drug abuse and all these things. Whatever the case might be, whatever it might be, food, whatever the case is, our organs are no longer functioning. And now it's like, well, now I need God. Now I'm coming to you, God. I need a cure. I need an answer to prayer. I need something. Sometimes people will say, like, well, I'm too bad. Well, you're trying to say that then the blood of Jesus is not as valuable and is worthy enough to cleanse your sin? Are you putting a price on the blood of Jesus? And saying that your sin is more strengthening and more of you than what the blood of Jesus cannot wash it away as it did and as it does? Another lie from the devil. A lie to the devil, from the devil to that person saying, buddy, you are so sinful that even Jesus can't save you. And they buy it. Their eyes are dark. Their insides are darkness. It's not light. You know, the eye is the lamp of the body. What are they receiving? What are they hearing? What are they seeing? What are they allowing in to their being? See, they don't realize that God is good. Some of them think that God is just a fairy tale. Some of them think that it's just God is for old people. You know, it's only when you get up in your 70s, 80s, or 90s that, oh, that's all good for, you know, good for you. You're at that age, you know. But when I'm in my teens and my 20s and my 30s, that's the dark side of my life. That's the side that I want to have fun in. Amen. Hallelujah. And yet it's a life that will kill them because of what the world is doing to them and allowing that darkness into them. The eye is the lamp of the body. We need to live and eat and breathe, and we need to receive and reflect in God's precepts, God's words into our being so that we have a light to shine. Amen? Because if you don't, your body is full of darkness. It says so. God's word says that. I'm not saying that. And we're talking about, too, that spiritual blindness. You know, they have no connections with that. That's why there is a spiritual blindness, because before you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your spirit man is D-E-A dead. D-E-A-D dead. Dead. There's no life in it. The man is dead inside because of the sin in the garden, and it goes back centuries ago. You know, it talks about here where it says blindness, you're spiritually blind. Well, what happens when someone is physically blind? You know, that's something that we can kind of understand and look at. You know, if somebody is physically blind, you see they've got a cane or something to help them find out that they're not going to trip or run into something. They might have a seeing-eyed dog. They may have different things to help them through life. But in that physical blindness, they're not seeing what you and me are seeing. Some would say they've got a much, and they do have a much keener in the physical hearing and sensory of smells and stuff than we do, because of how their senses are functioning and working. But I'm just looking at the aspect of spiritual blindness and physical blindness. Just think as far as spiritual blindness is like that of physical blindness. You can set them out on a road, and if they can't hear the train or the truck or a car coming, they will stand in that road and not believe that they need to move because they don't see anything coming. Well, I don't see that train coming in the physical sense. Well, in our spiritual blindness, it's the same thing. They're out there in the devil's playground, and they're doing all of these things, and they're not realizing that there's a train coming right at them spiritually because they're blind. The God of this world has blinded their eyes. If God is going to open our spiritual eyes, the God of this world is going to close our spiritual eyes and keep them closed. But remember, the Word of God is a lamp to your feet. It directs how we should live. Talks in that as far as holiness involves trusting God and not the world. The longer one walks with God, they will find themselves walking a fine line. Have you ever found that as you're walking more with God, that you're walking a finer line now? Choosing His ways over the world's ways. As we are walking this path, day in and day out, we begin to find out that this line that we're on, that we're following God, it gets to be a pretty fine line, really, because, you know, God is, it's either if I'm on this side of this line, I'm going to be in the darkness of spirituality, or if I'm on this side of this line of carpet, I'm going to be in that of the light of the spiritual of Him. It's that fine as we get closer into these things in our life. I think it's that way as we get into these end times, you know. There's that fine line. It talks in His Word, choose this day who you will serve. You cannot serve two masters. So many times we got people out there serving both sides of the coin here, both sides of the line. Oh, so the darkness side. I like the darkness side for this weekend. I want to be in the darkness. Oh, but now wait. Now the week's coming and I'm going to go and I'm going to be on the spiritual side and be whatever. We like to hop back and forth, but God does not allow that. Holiness involves trusting God, not the world. The longer one walks with God, they will find themselves walking a fine line. And it's not a line that God is wishing that, ooh, I hope you fall off of it so I can zap you. You know, it's not that God is looking like, ooh, this is going to be good. I'm going to see if He can really walk that tightrope. No, it's not that. But God is saying that I am coming for a chosen people. There's going to be, as it says in His Word, you know, wide is the way to destruction, narrow is the way to Him. I think that narrow to the way of Him is probably that little fine line that He's talking about that we need to be on. Seek illumination from God's Word and not from man's limited wisdom. See, man, we think man has got a lot of wisdom, don't we? Look at technology. Look at this phone. Oh, this was designed by man. The technology in this is phenomenal. But it's not as phenomenal as God's wisdom. Think of the wisdom that it takes to run these things, to put these things together, to cause so many things in our country now to go. Just the electronical and the IT areas of computerization and rockets and all this stuff out in space. I had had a thing on the phone. I looked at this for astronomy and all that, and there's some rocket that was shot off like, I don't know how many years ago. It's like the furthest shot now that it came back around, and well, it didn't come back around. It's still going somewhere like zillions of years out there, light years, and it's taken a shot of our galaxies and all that, and it shows little stripes of things, and it's said in this printing of this article, it says this little white speck in the orange stripe, that's Earth. It's like, where are we? This particular image has been sent the furthest of any image of space of a photograph of our galaxy and our Earth. I mean, it's way out there. This thing that was saying that when it took off and as it's going out there, it was going 700 and some out thousand miles an hour. Go figure that out. I don't understand that stuff. But man built that. Man put that together. Man sent it up. We think, wow, that's pretty wise. But even that is shallow compared to God's wisdom. God's wisdom. Now, God has placed wisdom into man. You know, the ones that have designed these phones and technology and all this stuff and space and all these things that we're doing, it's come from God. Amen. You know, anything that's prolonging and adding to and sustaining and developing things, a lot of it is just like phenomenal as far as the wisdom that goes forth. The bad thing about it is, as much as the wisdom gets into man, it's still man, and sometimes, you know, it kind of goes awry as well, you know. Not that God made it go awry, but the will of that person or whatever that happens. But anyway, what we're saying here is that we need to seek illumination from God's word and not from man's limited wisdom. The thing about this is, everything that we read here today, I've said this before, if he tarries and we could somehow be alive 500 years from now, we could read the same word, and the same word would pertain to that class of people. And it would not have changed, it would not have adjusted itself. It would be the same word that God spoke way back 200,000 or 2,000 plus years or even more than that of what was been put into his word. His word does not change. His word is ongoing. His word is for today. Oops, let's see. I need to turn back here real quick. Thank you, Father. I want to read, I should have been turning to it as I was sitting here talking all this time. It says that the Word of God, we are all inexperienced in too much of life to be without a guide. We have no experience in life to know what we need to do. Ask a mother that just has a baby. There's multitude of books out there of how to have a baby, how to take care of a baby, but I tell you what, to get right down to it, how to care for a newborn baby, it's pretty like you learn as you go, you know? It says here that we are all inexperienced in too much of life to be without a guide. God's word is that guide, amen? The whole of Psalms 119, as we were reading this little section of 105 out, but the whole verse and the whole gist of 119 unfolds a manifold feature of God's word, showing how dynamically it will assist us in life's most practical circumstances. And that's what I like about God's word. It's the practical things. It's the simple things in life that we come across and come up against that even God's word is good for, right? It helps us through those times. No single verse focuses this more clearly than the verse 105 that we've read. It says, which shows how God's word lights the way, giving direction for each step and giving wisdom for long-range plans. And that's what it's about. See, God is not just looking at today. He's looking at our lives down the road. Amen? He's looking at how he has predestined us to something. Something great that none of us in this room can even comprehend. Do you understand the comprehension of God's greatness in your life and what you're going to fulfill at the end or by the end? We just go through life thinking like, I'm just going through life, doing what I can do, you know, be a servant of God or help where I can help, be a blessing, and whatever God has asked me to do, I want to follow that and honor God. And then it's not until generally you get to that somewhere down in the future that you look back and you think, oh my, how God has brought me from there to there. And as you reflect back, you see your steps and you see how he guided you. You know, you look back through maybe some past testimony, some past trials that you had, or back in the times when you remember those times when God showed up at certain times in your past, because you recall that back and you go, wow, I remember back in whatever this was taking place, and I cried out or I called out or I was reading his word and it gave me direction, it gave me a focus, and it adjusted my steps back then, and now look where I'm at. It's those times that we look back to see where we were and we're at today and what he's brought us to. As much as I look back to see that, I look to the future, and I know it talks about, you know, just live today. Tomorrow has enough worries in itself. I'm not worrying about tomorrow, but I'm looking tomorrow to say, Lord, what is it that you got planned out for me? I hope and pray, Lord, that I fulfill that. Lord, I hope and pray and ask, Lord, that you give me the strength when I need it, that you keep me on the straight and narrow, that you keep me on your path that is lit with your word, that I fulfill that destiny that you have designed for me that started when I came out and somebody did this to me. You know, I don't know if they still do that, but, you know, back in the olden days, they used to hold the baby upside down and slap their backsides, I guess, you know. Ah, the start of life. Well, really, the start of life was back in the womb, but now he or she is outside, and now God is saying, now we're really going to go. I have designed you. I knew you in your mother's womb. Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. We got a God that knows us from the inside out, top to bottom. You name it, he knows you. But do you know him? Are you allowing his light to come into you now, so that you can shine to others? Another one similar to that, if I look at 119, is if I jump over to 130. Let's see, is it here? I'm sorry. Yeah, verse 130. It says here, 119, 130, it says, the entrance of your words, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. The entrance of your words do what? Gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Entrance is talking about an opening. It's expression that this expression gives light or direction in life. God's word gives light to the direction of our lives. Remember, we've talked about the eye is the lamp to the body. What our eye receives and takes in, it's putting that light in you. That light needs to be that of God. Amen? That light needs to be his precepts. That light needs to be your spirit man is born again, and now you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and there's a spiritual alertness to you. There's a spiritual brightness to you that the Lord can speak to you and tell you things, show you things, prepare you for things, and it's all by the Spirit. How many of here have had an unction in your spirit to do something or not do something? And you always wondered, why did I do that? And you come to find out that down the road or an hour or two later or the next day, whatever the case might be, you look back and you figure it out then. You go, now I know why God put that unction in my spirit, because look what it kept me from doing, or it caused me to do. Whatever it is, it was for the betterment of you. It was to protect you. It was to keep you safe. And that's those things that God is doing, and that's why it's important to have our spirit filled with his spirit, that Holy Spirit to indwell us and to live in us. And, you know, when we wake up in the morning, wake up the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is in you at night. I think as we're dreaming, he sometimes puts dreams in our heads. Amen? You know, we wake up with a dream that seems so vivid and seems so real, and it's like I could taste it and see it and see exactly everything happening, and it had to do something with you, God. Some years back, I had so many dreams at times of different churches and being in a church service and being involved with a group here or a group there and some groups, and maybe now as maybe Maybe now is some of the times in our community here, maybe it's one of those things that some years back, just seeing some churches in our community or pastors that were there having some kind of a service and having some kind of a this or that with them, or, you know, why am I at their church? Why am I at a different church now? Or why is this built differently? What's going on? And I think it's those things that even in our twilight, even in our sleep, in our subconscious, the Spirit is still working in us. The Spirit is still showing us things that somehow at night maybe we can connect with that. I don't understand it, and I'm sure some of you guys have had those things happen, you know. You wake up from a dream and it's so real, so vivid. It's not doing anything that you're currently involved with, and you're kind of like going, wow, Lord, well, that would be kind of cool, I guess. I don't understand it. How's it going to work out? But different churches, different settings, different places, different people. But the entrance of your glorious words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple childlike. Psalms 19, 7 and 8 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That's Psalms 19, 7 through 8. Read it again. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Enlightening the eyes, you know, when you think about being enlightened, it talks about to furnish knowledge to or to give spiritual insight to. See, God is connecting to your spirit. And if you can get your spirit man to be living and being somewhat controlled by that of the Holy Spirit, you will find that you're obeying the things of what God is asking you to do. You know, he's not calling me up on the phone to say, Tim, do this. He might be telling Tim to do this when I read a particular passage of his word, of his precepts. It might put it into my spirit at that time that I read it that this is addressing something of today or tomorrow or something that I'm thinking about. Could be during times of prayer, during times of just times with Him and being still and being quiet that, you know, if we can shut out the things of this world and allow nothing to come in, that we could just sometimes hear Him a little bit better. The word of God, that the law of the word is that the law of the Lord is perfect. I looked at 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It says here that the law of the Lord is perfect is a direct reference to the absolute, complete, and entire trustworthiness of the Holy Scriptures, which constitute the Bible. The word of God is perfect in its accuracy and sure in its dependability. The Word of God is perfect in its accuracy, and it is sure in its dependability. For that relationship that you have with God to develop and to grow, you need to first of all say, this is your Word, God. And it is true. And it's designed to help us all. What I read and hear today, God, is powerful for today as it was when it was first penned and put down into paper. Lord, what you call this or what you call that or what you say about this situation or what you say about that type of kingdom or leadership or government, it is as true today as it was when you put it into your word. See, that's why as children of God, as spirit beings, as we are opening our eyes and our eyes and our innards or our body, not our, our physical body, our spiritual body, we're being enlightened by these things of God. That's why we can go through this life even today and have joy, and have laughter, and have peace, and have strength. And be free from sadness or anxiety or worry or depression or anything of that line. Now, it's those things that we've got to deal with and work through, but if we can continue to keep His Word flowing in us and through us and helping us through different situations in our life, we come to find out that we are living a good life. We're living His life that He wants us to live. Because God does not plan out to have all of us or to have any one of His children to live in distress and to live in pain and suffering and all of these things that are taking place of today. God loves you. God loves me. He loves us all. Amen. Amen. To be able to shine the light of Christ out of us, we first need to have that light inside us. To get that light in us, we must, of course, be reconciled back to God, receiving Jesus as our Lord. You can't sidestep that. You know, it just doesn't work where somebody doesn't want to receive Jesus as their Lord. Oh, I don't want to do that, but I want to read His Word. There's many people out there that have read His Word, many people out there that really understand His Word, but they're lost. Because there's some basic things that they don't want to adhere to. They quite can't grasp this born-again thing and Jesus and all these things and the Holy Spirit. I can read all of this. See, that's the wisdom of man. They need the wisdom of God. But the first thing is to be reconciled back to God, receive Jesus as their Lord, begin to not just read the Word, but to receive the Word. There's a way of reading something, and there's a way of receiving something. You need to digest the Word of God. You need to let the Word direct your life and your actions. You need to let the Word of God light that narrow path that He wants you to get on. You know, anybody can go down a path that is 50 feet wide and not stray. But I think as we get closer to God, God says, okay, 50 feet was good in the beginning. Now I'm going to knock it down to 25 feet. Okay, 25 feet's not bad, Lord. I can still handle that. I got a lot of little side discretionary things here and there, you know. And then as we advance through God and our time with Him, He begins to say, now, my child, that 25 feet is going to go down to 10 feet. Pretty soon it's going to go down to 8 feet. Whatever the case might be, to where it gets to the point to where it's going to say, oh, my God, now it's right here. But you know what? The same God that was here with me when I was this wide of path is the same God that is with me on this width of path. He's not changed. I have needed to change. And to help me make that change, it's being upon His Word and letting the light of my soul, the eyes, receive from Him to get out of that spiritual darkness and to come into a way of trusting Him and seeing Him in everyday life. I pray that you see Jesus in your everyday life. You see His benefit somewhere, somehow, in your mornings, in your afternoons. For some that have a good drive, in your drive time, you know, that you're just there with Him. I had an opportunity to go up and see someone in Madison this past week, you know. And I kind of thought, well, I'm going to kind of drive by the road that you guys kind of like on, and I'm going to set my timer when I got up there, and I'm going to just see. And I was humbled. I thought, Lord, gosh, you know, this couple, Wayne and Julie, they come from Madison. I don't know. I drove it kind of, you know, it took me like 51 minutes and 51 seconds to pull into this driveway out here and just stop, put it in park, and then hit my timer. It's like 51 minutes. A 51-minute drive to come to church. I said, Lord, I'm humbled that people sense Your Spirit to draw them here. It's not me. It's His Spirit, right? It's something of His presence. It's something of His moving within this body. It's awesome. Awesome. So I said a prayer for you guys. Truly. I'm not going downtown. There's crazies that live downtown Madison. You know? I was, it's bad enough on the fringe. Nas, you were downtown. You weren't at home, were you? No. But I did think about you. I thought, you know, one of these days I could show up down there at the courthouse if I knew to get there and work your time and say, hey, Wayne, let's have coffee.
You know,
oh, great. But but you know. But anyway, as a pastor, as any of us, it's sometimes looking at what people are willing to do for the things of God. And when I did that, it helps kind of refocus me a little bit to understand the things of how God is working in each and every one of us. You know, some of us complain like it's like a 12-minute drive to get out here. You know, and here's almost an hour. Now, I know if I drove a little bit faster, I'd get here a little sooner. And I didn't stop for coffee. But, you know, it's just, thank you so much. It meant a lot. I tell you what, when I sensed to that, it's just something. But that's being sensitive to God and just being open to Him. And I'm not saying because they come down here, they're on that narrow path and what God's doing. But, you know, God will honor these things for sure, especially when we hear from Him and He's directed us to do this, go here, attend here, be a part of this body, be a part of that. Because He places us in places specifically for a reason. It's to help us personally if we would understand that, but it's also to be a part and a help to that place that He sends us to. So, Father, thank you, Lord. But I do encourage you to keep that light, okay? Your eyes, keep them lit with the Word of God and keep bringing in that Word of Him into your spirit so that you don't have that blindness. And if you can do that, then this light that I gave out a couple of weeks ago, it'll get brighter. I believe, you know, I said, even if you had a little bright light or just a little bit of light, it'll be a brightness in the darkness. But I think if we can kind of keep ourselves in His Word, keep ourselves in His presence, that light will eventually get brighter and brighter and brighter. And it's not to make you brighter, okay, but it's to make Him brighter. That's the thing about making Him brighter to those around us. Making Him. Oh, hallelujah.